Pittsburgh, I love ya. This is Brian Edward, and you're listening to Berg Vivant, Pittsburgh's cultural talk magazine, delivered digitally, straight up, shaken, and stirred. Tonight's broadcast brought to you by our spectacular sponsors and strategic partners, Zafalo's Banquet and Event Center, Carnegie, Pennsylvania, one of the most beautiful and unique venues in the greater Pittsburgh area for weddings, corporate dinners, fundraisers, and more. Visit clubzafalo.com. Off the Wall Theater, enlivening, educating, and entertaining audiences in the Pittsburgh region. View their current season at insideoffthewall.com. Arcade Comedy Theater, hosting local and national comedians, sketch comedy, improv, and more. 811 Liberty Avenue, downtown. Be sure to like them on Facebook or find them at arcadecomedytheater.com. Berg Vivant is a proud supporter of Firefly Arts, creating opportunities and support for families living with autism through innovative arts programming. You can learn more and show your support at fireflyarts.org. Cody Hartman, filmmaker. Welcome to Berg Vivant.
Very nice to be here.
Now, see, I know a filmmaker. When a filmmaker sits down on Berg Vivant, you know how you're looking right at the camera.
I look right at the lens, yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Here, this is where the show is.
Yeah, this is, I'm ready for my close-up as I...
Ah, Mr. DeMille, a Sunset Boulevard reference, mm-hmm. A filmmaker indeed. Exactly. Now, there is a title of distinction that has been placed upon you as a filmmaker. I believe it is said that you are the youngest person in America to ever direct a feature film?
That's what I've... been hearing. I'm very gracious for the title. I appreciate it.
And it's very impressive, seeing as how you are 6 years old.
I am. Yes.
Yeah. No, 21. Correct.
21. Yes.
So, that's quite a feat. I mean, how does one come by that, to be a film director of a feature length film at 21 years old?
It's been my entire life. The first time I was on a film set, I was 3 days old.
Oh yeah.
And it's been perpetual and continual ever since. It's been my entire life's journey to get to this point. So it's incredibly fulfilling, and it feels like such an achievement to do this for me. It's a dream.
Now, at 3 years old, what union was allowing you to hold a boom mic or something like that? Exactly. What were you doing at 3 years old on a film set?
I believe it was House Guest was the film, and I believe I was.
Wait a minute, with Sinbad?
With Sinbad?
You're kidding!
There's pictures of me when I was just a few days old in Sinbad's arms running around the set.
That film has not even entered my consciousness for at least a decade. Thank you for reminding me that that's out there. I think I'm going to be compelled to see it now. But you come from a movie-making family.
Yeah? I do. Even my girlfriend now is a writer. My father is a producer, my mentor. And my mother couldn't care any less about any of it, actually.
Now, are you from Pittsburgh originally?
I am from Pittsburgh originally. We moved out to LA when I was about 6, and just to get everything started, get everything in motion. And then when we were successful enough to move back, to bring the business back with us, we love Pittsburgh. We love what it means. We love the architecture. We love the beauty. It's such a nice place to live and make films.
Mm-hmm. Now, is it possible to be a filmmaker in Pittsburgh? Because I think the assumption is you got to at least go out to LA for a part of it or all of it.
I feel like that used to be the mentality. I feel like things have really, really excelled lately in Pittsburgh. I feel like it's really a place of the arts now. Mm. It's a place where you can succeed fully. I know we love it, and I know everybody we know, whether they come back, in a good way or bad, they love it. They love where we live. They love to, show Pittsburgh off in films. That's what people like.
So is that what makes it a good city to film in? Because it seems like a lot of that is happening lately. There's a lot of even major motion pictures being filmed here.
Yeah, I mean, obviously there's the Batmans. There's big
yes,
things
there
like
is.
That,
which, guess who was in Batman?
Exactly.
It's not like I don't drop that on Berg Vivant enough, but
exactly. You were the cop, I believe.
The cop.
The
yeah, because in that movie there was just one,
the cop,
right?
As
yeah.
it says.
Me taking on 50 terrorists on
exactly.
the steps of Gotham City Hall. Yes, yeah, so watch it.
Exactly.
I always tell people I'm the
comp with the martini and the tuxedo. But yeah, lots happening here, so it must be exciting to be at the center of it. And you just wrapped a film here recently, yes?
We did. That was my my directorial debut, which is very dear to my heart.
Insomnia, it's called. Yes.
Insomnia, yes. It's a psychological thriller about a woman who, you know, she just moved to the United States about 11 months prior. She grew up in Czechoslovakia. It became the Czech Republic. She escaped with her family. They moved to London for about 15 years. And as things kind of fell apart in the home, they moved to the United States. And that's where we pick up our story. And it's about this woman with, you know, crippling social anxiety, you know, incredible amount of shyness. And she lives in a terrible, terrible neighborhood. And, you know, we start off, you know, with her in this horrible, horrible place mentally and physically. And she meets with her brother and he tells her, you know, you need to achieve. You need to have a purpose in life. That's why people, you know, are able to sleep at night. That's why we're able to continue living. And through a series of events, she's put into some serious traumatic situations that really change her as a person. Mm-hmm. And instead of falling even more into her ways, she actually uses them as a positive. You know, she takes these chances to, you know, help people, to save people, to be the person that she's always wanted to be. And a few twists and turns, obviously.
Yeah. Now, you've written this as well as directed it, yes?
I have, yes.
Now, how is it directing your own work, a piece that you've written? Does that present more challenges, or does it alleviate some?
It's certainly, the ball is in my court. And, yeah. You know, when we step on that set, it's, you know, somebody asks me a question, and, you know, it's, well, you know, how does that work with the thing? And I'm like, oh, I know, I'm sorry. You know, it's in all honesty, it's been an absolute dream, you know, to see, you know, these characters that I've, you know, spent long nights awake writing, and, you know, just down to, you know, the buttons on their shirt, and, you know, the intricacies of these characters, to bring it to life on such a level is something I'll never forget, and something I plan to do.
Now, did you use primarily Pittsburgh actors in this piece?
We did, and then our lead actress is actually from Czechoslovakia, Petra Bryant, yeah. So she was a perfect match for us. We actually, she came into the process very early in the writing of the screenplay and the, you know, developing of the project itself. So she had the opportunity to be, I had the opportunity to write her into the script, essentially. So, you know, it's, you know, we found this incredible, wonderful actress, and to be able to mold a screenplay around her in such a way I'm incredibly proud of the way it turned out, you know.
And I think one of your leading men is a name that a lot of our viewers will recognize, having seen him on the stage here in Pittsburgh, David Whalen, yes?
Yes, my good friend, David Whalen, yes.
Very good actor, what
very
do you say?
Good actor, absolutely incredible.
Shouldn't he do more film? Mm-hmm. He's that good.
He should definitely do more film. I mean, he gets great parts. You know, he was the dad in Fault in Our Stars. Did you see that?
You know, I don't get out to see many films unless there is A, Batman in it.
Of course.
Or B, dinosaurs.
Or B, you in it as a cop right? In the Batman.
Yeah, yeah. So,
exactly.
If it was neither of the above, then no, I did not see it.
That's fine.
But no, he's wonderful in everything he does. So it sounds like a great project. How do you start something like this? I mean, what do you feel are the biggest challenges for young filmmakers? You know, somebody your age who says, all right, I want to get this film made. What's the biggest hurdle?
I feel like the biggest hurdle is the, you know, a lot of people have these large dreams just like I did, and I feel like they don't know their outlet. They don't know how to express it on film. They think they need the big budgets. They think they need, you know, the trailers with the large actors, and I just don't think it's true anymore with the way technology has advanced with film. You know,
oh, yeah, people are filming stuff on their iPhones,
exactly.
For goodness sake.
I mean, if you want to be a filmmaker, there is no reason that you can't. There is no limitations anymore. You know, we've done things on this film that look like Batman that are these big looks with crane shots, with, you know, sweeping dolly shots through crowded nightclubs, through these big things with hundreds of extras, and it didn't cost us a fortune. You know, we're indie, you know, and I think we always will be as a result. You know, we like to have control over our films. We like to not have, you know, the input of, you know, just the distributor to make it in some big piece. You know what I mean? It's what we want. It's you know, my father and I making these decisions that, you know, we sleep very comfortably at night knowing that we've created something that we think is pure and, you know, up to our standards of filmmaking.
Now, your father is, in his own right, a very accomplished producer. Director as well?
Just producer.
To what degree is he involved in your latest project?
He is actually the producer of this project. This is the father-son producer team.
Now, how's that working out? Is it, has it strengthened your relationship with your father, or stressed it?
It has in a major way. Uh-huh. It's, you know, I owe him everything. Mm-hmm. You know, I owe him everything that I am. He's taught me everything I know about film. We've studied, you know, thousands of film late at night, just him and I, just watching through as, you know, somebody crosses the lens, and, you know, just the slight little movements that, you know, we've studied for so long. And to sit on that set, and when I call cut and I look over to him and I say, we got it, you know, we got that shot, it's a moment that I'll never forget. It's something.
Some father sons, they go fishing, play catch. You guys make movies.
We make movies.
That's pretty cool. Now, how are you feeling right now about what you've shot? Because I know there's a lot that has to happen yet. The film has to be edited, and it's going to be a couple months before anybody's able to see it publicly. I think we're thinking between, you know, maybe January, November, December, January, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
But how are you feeling now with what you've seen through that lens so far, with what you've captured?
What we've captured, and I give, you know, my total gratitude to John Rosario, my DP, director of photography. He is a master of his craft. He's a very close friend of mine. As a result, he really took this story off the page. You know, him and I sat together for many nights, just sitting there, you know, bringing these moments, you know, into something that can be captured in a lens, and it's really been incredible. I do owe him a lot.
So what technically does a director of photography do? What is their job?
The director of photography is the man who controls his whole department of the camera. You know what I mean? He is what we see. You know, and him and I are probably the closest to working people on the set. Hmm. You know, everybody else is doing their jobs, but John Rosario and I sat behind that monitor, you know, picking everything and creating it to make it something that we can be really proud of. And that's, you know what I mean?
Now, when you see a film, how do you recognize the mark of a good director?
I would say the mark of a good director is watching somebody who can collaborate. You know what I mean? Somebody who can take people's opinions with no ego. You know, to take, you know, a homeless man walking past, if he looks over and he's like, that's a little weird that homeless girl is standing that way, I wouldn't stand that way. You know, just small little things where people give their input.
Now, has that happened to you? Where somebody's come off the street and said, hey, that's incorrect.
We did shoot in a lot of dark, scary places on this film, so there was a lot of run-ins with the local homeless that had a few ideas about the set. And I think maybe a few of them were a little too intoxicated to give too much of good advice, but,
well, you know. I know how they feel.
I know you do.
But yeah, that I see your point about being open to that, wherever that critique or input may come from. But when you're watching something visually, mm-hmm. and you might not necessarily have been part of the production process, again, if you're in the movie theater and you're seeing a film on the screen, what jumps out at you to say, good job, you know, that resonates with me, I want to do that and I want to do better?
Well, I think it's about, just like I saw Me, Earl, and Dying Girl the other night, and it impressed me that, you know, they still had those indie feel to things. They took chances, they took these big, you know, these big risks, and I think that's what filmmaking is about. I think it's about telling a story in the way you want to do it.
Now, indie film, I think, is a term that we're all familiar with, but what? How do you define an independent film, and what separates that from another film?
I see you. Yeah. Well, there's the indie, like us, and there's the studios. Hmm. You know, the studios are, you know, obviously they make incredible films. You know, they make the big ones. They make the Batmans. They make the, you know, The Fault in Our Stars, even that shot in Pittsburgh, I think. But when they walk onto the set, there's so much they have to account for. You know, there's so many investors needing their money back. You know, with a $90 million production, there is no, you know what I mean? There is no creative input on set. You know what I mean? It's
because the input is from the money, I guess, and what they might dictate.
On a certain level, I really feel like that's the case, especially because in the studio system, directors don't have final cut.
Ooh.
So, you know what I mean? That would be... And a lot of people do it, you know, incredibly well, like the Harvey Weinsteins and people of the world that are incredibly talented, and they do know what they're selling. You know what I mean? So they, you know, he's on that Kodak Theater stage every year as a result, you know.
Mm.
So it's, you know what I mean? It's clearly a system that works. We just like to have more control of what we're making,
yeah.
You know.
Now, I think I saw an article recently, I think it was Robert De Niro that said a couple of weeks ago that in his opinion, film... right now is like the worst it's ever been. Lousy, you know, what we're seeing in the movie theaters. What's your take on that?
I think when I go to a movie theater, I feel either two ways. It's either I'm going there to see a wonderful film with, you know, incredibly talented people that I respect and those sorts of things, but on the other end, I go for fun. You know what I mean? I go to see the big cheesy action movies, and I still enjoy them.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they don't have as much, you know, substance as other films, but I still find them enjoyable. I still find them as great fun, because that's, you know, that's really what movies are fun. You know, I find critics, like harsh critics who, you know, kind of have that hipster attitude of every movie sucks, is a little lame. You know, I feel like movies are meant to be appreciated.
For what they are.
You know, if I'm, you know, laying there at 2 a.m. and I can't sleep and the sci-fi channel is on and it's, you know, whatever, arachnophobia versus giant crocodile or whatever it is.
How was Sharknado not the first thing that came to your mind?
Exactly.
When we said sci-fi?
I know.
That was sci-fi channel, right?
I think
that produced that.
What a wonderful film.
I have not seen it.
It is hilarious. It's...
I will have to add that to my bucket list. Sharknado. But what would we call that? Would that be a thriller genre? I don't know. The shark wrangler on that film, I think, must have been...
The shark wrangler.
Very exhausted.
I just remember the scene where the guy like looks over the side of the bridge and he just sees a tornado of sharks coming towards him, and the look on his face must have been like, you know, what did the director say at that moment? You're scared of flying sharks.
What would David Whalen do? That's what we need to ask ourselves. If you, and I imagine that he was incredible to work with. If you said to him, you know, all right, David, you know, tornado sharks coming, I would like to see how he would internalize that and then externalize that. And in fact, when we have him on the show, which I hope we do soon, I think I may just ask him that.
I think he might.
Give me an example of a horrible movie. That you've just seen that has just been, oh, that is terrible. It has no redeeming quality. I am not compelled to ever watch this again. Although maybe for its camp value. And
camp value?
Yeah.
I watched it was a sci-fi movie. It was Michael Madsen, I believe, fighting giant snakes and lizards.
Okay.
And I may...
That could be actually a couple movies.
Yeah, a couple movies. So he's a scientist, Michael Madsen.
Well, that's a stretch right there.
Yeah, so he's a scientist wearing, you know, a leather vest with, you know, really tight skinny pants, and he won't stop smoking the whole movie. And he's so drunk, obviously. I don't even think that's part of the character. I think that's just because he's so drunk.
They had to make it part of the character,
exactly.
Poor and then, Michael Madsen.
Oh, I know. But he's such an incredible performer, though. It's very sad to see that he's kind of, you know, plummeted.
Slipping down that slippery slope. You know, I look at actors that, you know, kind of have that wild reputation. you know, that are maybe, using drugs and alcohol a little more than they should. Exactly. And I happen to wonder, too, if that's part of their greatness. If that's what allows them to just, in front of a camera, just be completely free of any inhibition and be 100% in the moment. Because I think that's a great challenge for actors. I think that's what a lot of actors' talent comes from, is that they can just be so real in the moment. That's not easy for everybody. We come with a lot of baggage and a lot of walls.
It's true. You know? And, you know, a lot of people, you know, they look at an actor, you know, like an incredible actor, like a, you know, like a Robert Downey Jr. or somebody like that. And, you know, when they sit on that set and, you know, there's the hot lights and the cameras and, you know, the entire crew sitting behind the camera watching somebody perform, to make it look easy is an incredible achievement. You know what I mean? A lot of people look at it and say, I could do that. Where it's, you know, I admire them all day. You know, I sit behind the monitor in my little box watching a little TV.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Now, what films do you feel, if any, have really inspired you to do what you're doing now?
I feel like for this film, probably the main inspirations would be Repulsion by Roman Polanski. Have you ever seen that?
No. But you know what? I think I have it, but I've never watched it.
We'll watch it. It, just an incredible film. It was, you know, one of the first psychological thrillers.
Yeah, the title, you've got to get over that. You know, something called Repulsion. Exactly. You're not necessarily compelled to go see, but that may very well be the brilliance of it.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's definitely on my to-view list. But what about it sticks with you?
It was kind of the softness of the lead female, Catherine Deneuve.
Oh yeah.
She, I don't know, it was just this incredible story of her kind of losing her mind, you know, and told in this Roman Polanski fashion, where it's just, you know, the confusion is part of the excitement. You know, you never know what's around the next corner, and it's shot, you know, so beautifully for the time.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just, you know, these long, drawn-out, you know, moving back and forth through, looking through keyholes and hands coming out of the wall and such incredible things, especially at that time. You know,
yeah.
Where people sat in that theater and thought, you know, this is the scariest thing I've ever seen, you know, especially at that time.
And that has a lot to do with the direction, and obviously. And there have been, you know, movies that I've seen that, you know, face value, the story, the acting, okay. But what has stood out to me about them is how it looked and how it was shot. Citizen Kane is like that for me. I saw it for the first time later in life, you know, and it had this huge reputation, one of the greatest films ever made. I didn't think the story was that great, but what stood out to me was, the shots, the imagery that was created. Now, is that more so due to the director or somebody like the director of photography that you mentioned earlier to make a film look like that?
I think with Citizen Kane, I believe that, I don't think that film could have been made without the immense amount of collaboration between... I'm not sure who shot that.
Well,
I know it was Orson Welles, but I'm not
Orson
sure...
Orson Welles probably did everything, because that was the kind of guy he was, but no, we'll have to look that up. I'm curious about that now, too.
But Orson Welles, with that director of photography, I'm sure was the most collaborative of people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm sure they spent countless nights just staying awake all night, just planning and creating, and you know, when just like that mirror shot where he's looking in the mirror and it's you know, extended all the way through, and it's just, you know, he invented those things.
Yeah,
you know, he did so many incredible things with that film. So when people call it, you know, the best film ever made, it's very hard to argue when you say, you know, when you watch it and you see things that filmmakers have done, you know, even up to today, and still feel relevant, you know.
And it is harder to dazzle us now. It
certainly is.
With CGI and everything. And, you know, I just saw this new Jurassic Park movie, you know, with all the digital dinosaurs. I miss the original one where it was, you know, you knew there was a guy making a puppet, you know, with
Steven Spielberg
standing
on
it. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah,
CGI doesn't do it for me.
I don't enjoy the CGI very much. I there are certain moments where it's necessary, you know, where it's, you know, maybe, you know, a large town or something in a medieval style movie, but other than that, I'm not sure why you would use it to such a level.
Just promise me, if you ever have a dinosaur that's of reasonable proportion. Make sure it's a guy in a dinosaur suit, please. You know, or a robot. Just promise me that.
But yeah.
And I'll go see it.
Yeah.
And I will applaud over my popcorn. So what's coming up for you once Insomnia opens? And, you know, we're definitely going to want to check in with you then. Are you going to have a Pittsburgh premiere for Insomnia?
We will be having a premiere in Pittsburgh.
Awesome. Fair. Well, we're looking forward to that. So then what's your next project after that?
The next one is being written right now.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So you now write most of your films. Mm-hmm. Can we get any insight onto what this next one is going to be about?
It's, I'd kind of like to dive into maybe a different genre. You know, this is kind of a psychological thriller.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to try my hand in a little bit of a horror, you know, maybe. Maybe a bit of a, you know, a drama, maybe.
A horror drama. Okay.
Separately.
Oh, okay. All right, because there could be a horror drama,
there's
right?
There's certainly could. A dramatic horror.
Drum-more? What would we call it?
A drum horror.
Horror?
A drum
horror?
Yeah, exactly.
No, it doesn't work. Don't try to J-Lo Ben Affleck that. That's not going to happen.
Don't make Geely.
Geely. Don't ever make Geely. Oh, no. That was so bad, I didn't even see it. Which is the same for, like...
Well, it's sad for Ben Affleck because he's done so many great things, you know, like Argo and things like that. And for him to do, like, a Geely, it's...
There has to be a story, though. There has to be a story behind why that happened, because at some point, many people sat in a room and said, this is a great idea.
Here's our money.
And we're going to give you money for this. At Here's some point, money. That had to happen, and I would have loved to have heard that conversation, because I think we both could benefit from some of the things said in there, because if you could sell that, you can sell anything.
They must have had the best salesman. But were they married at the time?
Oh, I'm sure they had to be. I think that was probably part of it. That, you know, maybe it's her fault. I don't know.
Maybe.
We can only speculate.
We'll blame her for
Right. that. So is it tough to pitch a film?
It really comes down to the, you know, finding people who are just as passionate as you are.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Even with an investor or somebody like that, it's, you know, it's about, you know, them having the passion to be able to, you know, put their hard-earned money into something that they feel will be successful, not only, you know, profitable, but, you know, visually, storytelling. It's about making people, you know, just want to be a part of it, like we all do.
Yeah.
You know, we all just want to make great movies. You know, there's no real motive to it besides that. The money is nice, but, you know.
Yeah. Now, see, I think that would be the most challenging part about it for me, is to essentially go to an investor and do the song and dance and, you know, try to interpret my artistic vision. You know what? Maybe at the actors in the film would be the best people to go make the pitch, you know?
Exactly, yeah.
Has anybody ever got into that? That might be pretty cool.
Well, I'm sure Ben Affleck walks right up to the Weinsteins and...
In the Batman costume.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I heard a story the other day. Ben Affleck was at Comic-Con.
Mm-hmm.
And he's sitting on the panel, and he said he took his kid to buy him a Batman costume for Halloween. And he walked into the Batman aisle, and he looks over, and Christian Bale is there with his kid on the other side of the aisle.
Doing the same thing?
Buying his kid a Batman costume.
That's
awesome. I just thought of how hysterical that moment must have looked as they look at each other.
What a photo op.
What a
photo. Who's telling that story? If they didn't pick out their camera or pull out their camera and snap a shot of that, I pray that story is true.
Yeah.
I love hearing stuff like that. Now, I'm not going to ask you to name drop, you know, because I know you spend a lot of time in L.A. You've worked in the film industry for a while now. You know a lot of interesting and influential people. But who are you just dying to meet or work with that you haven't?
That I haven't met that I'd be dying to meet. I would say probably a David Fincher.
David Fincher? The David Fincher, not necessary, just as long as it's one of them?
Just one of the many. No, David Fincher is, you know, he's so incredible in so many ways, but, you know, he's inspired me on such a personal level with, you know, being able to have such a range with things, you know. He's branched out and he's done, you know, the Curious Cases and things like that are, I don't think, up to his standards, but the fact that he would have you know, the balls to do something like that is impressive. You know, where he goes from something like a panic room, which is gorgeous and beautiful and, you know, incredible visually, to something like that, where it's this grand storytelling period piece, you know, beautiful romance kind of a movie, and it's just impressive.
Yeah. Well, I hope that happens.
I hope as well.
For you. I think it does. And the last thing I want to ask you, again, about your, you know, this incredible distinction of being the youngest person to direct a feature-length film, I mean, do you feel that that's a challenge at all as far as how, you know, you're respected, that somebody might assume, well, I know more than he does, and, you know, working with actors and a production crew, do you get any of that resistance?
I with this crew, they were all, you know, they've known me for a while, and the people that I didn't know heard of me at this point, but I really think when, you know, when people have that kind of an attitude of, I know better, I would like to hear it. I would like to know how you know better, and I would like to use it to our advantage. What I mean?
So, and I imagine that probably diffuses them right away.
Exactly. Right? So it's, you know, once again, it's all about being collaborative. It's about if somebody thinks they have a better idea, I'd love to hear it. You know.
All right. Well, I've got your number. Exactly. I'll be calling you after I see Insomnia. We'll see what happens. But we're all looking forward to it. Cody, cheers to all of your success.
Thank you so much.
And we'll see you opening night.
In closing, we would like to once again thank our spectacular sponsors and strategic partners, Off the Wall Theater, Cefalo's Banquet and Events Center, Carnegie, Pennsylvania, Arcade Comedy Theater, Downtown, and Bergvavant is a proud supporter of Firefly Arts, creating opportunities and support for families living with autism through innovative arts programming. Find out more and show your support at fireflyarts.org. And be sure to follow Pittsburgh's Cultural Talk magazine online. You can find Bergvavant, the It in Pittsburgh, on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribe for free at www.bergvavant.com. This is Brian Edwards saying cheers and good night.